Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Thank you once again for that gracious introduction, and I'm finally on the air. I couldn't wait. Thank you for being there. Thank you for podcasting, downloading the show, and listening at your convenience. I'm broadcasting live from Chicago, as I can barely say it. It's a beautiful day. It's 82 degrees. I'm looking at my screen here. It says 82 degrees. It is 6 o'clock straight up. And I'm broadcasting near Lake Michigan, beautiful Lake Michigan. It's a wonderful day to look. Now, this is more like a summer day, okay? And I want to say happy Father's Day to all of those great and wonderful and caring dads out there who are there, always there for their children. Because your kids need you. I mean, your kids need you. They need a father. They need a dad. And thank you for always being there. Thank you for being a great father. You know, so... Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Now, let's get started. Let's get started. Let's get started. We're going to see, is type 2 diabetes reversible? Okay, we're going to get into that. We're going to get into things. I'm having problems with the audio. I'm not sure if my mouth is too close to the microphone. I'm not sure. Or do I need a better microphone? It could be anything, you know. But anyway, bear with me. Bear with me in case we have internet interruptions or your internet goes out, because it's been a stormy kind of a day, and they say it's going to be from the weather people. There's weather people, meteorologists. They tell us that it's going to be a few storms later on today. So hopefully I can do the show and we can be off the show, so we will not have any technical or internet interruptions because of the foul weather. So, and I'm hoping there is no cracks in the audio, because sometimes there is cracks in the audio, and if there are, I apologize. Forgive me for that. We're working on it. I'm working on it, and it should be resolved by next week when the show will, we will be back on the air. Okay? So, excuse me. This is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're going to talk about, is diabetes reversible? The awareness, diabetes awareness on the Talk About Times, George Wilder Jr. Show. What is type 2 diabetes? The symptoms of diabetes. We're going to get into all of that later on in the show. You know what? The thing is, I've learned a lot about the disease myself, and I've learned that there are so many people walking around with this disease. I mean, from my research on diabetes, type 2 diabetes, because my understanding is that type 2 diabetes occur in older Americans. Type 1 is in younger people. So anybody that's, you know, 40 or over, you know, considered to have type 2 diabetes or something like that. And if you're 40 and under, it's a possibility they may have type 1 diabetes. So I chose this topic because it's an important subject that I think a lot of people should know. And it's growing. It's growing. It's a bad disease. It's growing, and we have to do something about it, okay? We're talking about is it reversible? A lot of people are walking around with it, and you know what? It is so. A lot of people are on insulin. There's people who are taking pills. I mean, if your blood pressure is too low, you're in trouble. If your blood pressure is too high, you're in trouble. If your sugar is too high, you're in trouble. If your sugar is too low, you're in trouble. So you have to figure out a way to balance that, you know. I mean, who wants to be shooting themselves up all the time with insulin? So like I said, we'll get into that. We'll get into that later on in the show. But right now I'm going to talk about some things in the news. Okay, let's see what we got. First, obviously, we have to talk about this this atrocity, this racial hatred. Dylann Roof, the guy who seemed like he has no remorse for what he's done, and he should have a lot of remorse for what he's done, okay? And we're going to talk about that. We're going to get into a whole lot more on this show on Sunday, Father's Day. It's a great day. It's a wonderful day. It's a wonderful time. And we're going to do this. I'll be right back. Take a break. Stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. Okay, there's reports of saying that the alleged church shooter tried to kill himself during the attack. Well, I'm pretty sure that he wanted to kill himself. He didn't want to be caught doing this. But, you know, most people who do, who perpetrate violence like this on others, they don't want to be caught alive. You know, getting caught alive is like failing to them, you know. I mean, they wanted to kill everything they could. The guy, I'm looking at a photograph of the guy right now being, you know, taken into custody or taken to court. He looks just as hateful as ever. He doesn't seem as if he's remorseful. And I'm pretty sure someone with hate in his heart like this guy, he holds no remorsement for what he's done. He has none. And he wanted to kill himself. So, and the thing about it, they had church this morning. This is Father's Day, and the Charleston, South Carolina historic black church where 9 people were killed, gunned down, because they were African Americans by a white guy who just hated African Americans. He felt that African Americans were taking over America, and there was no one, and there was no Ku Klux Klan, there was no Ku Klux Klan, and there was no other supremacists around, white supremacists around, to do the bidding that they should be doing by taking out African Americans, because they felt that they were taking over the world. The guy was mentally ill. He had to be mentally ill, but basically he's of sound mind and body. He knew what he was doing. I mean, to do something like this, you got to be mental. And he, like I said yesterday on the show, he's just 21 years old, just 21. His life is totally over. That is no lie. He can't do anything. You know, I mean, this guy it's over. He might as well have shot himself, but he failed in that attempt, and he was apprehended by the authorities. So, you know. But you know what? My heart still goes out to the people who are forgiving this guy. They're loving and they're forgiving. Like I said, the relatives of the victims that this guy mowed down in a church, killed for no reason at all, just because they were black, and he just hated black people. And they're forgiving him. They're forgiving him. I don't know if I could be that forgiving. You know, I mean, you took my brother and my sister. You know, I don't know if I could be so forgiving. I don't know. I may be the type of guy who might want revenge. Okay, but let's just say this guy murdered all those people, including the pastor, and he has not been caught. Let's say he's still on the run. Obviously, if he was still on the run, still out there, the victim's family would want this guy to turn himself in. Because it happens all the time. If some thug, you know, guns down someone, some innocent family member, the other family members would want this thug to turn himself or herself in, if at all, some way, they have not been apprehended for that crime. So I don't know what I'm trying to say here. All I'm trying to say, this was a horrific crime that would live forever. I mean, this is like Sandy Hook school shooting a few years ago, where all these babies were killed. Kindergarten, first grade children were killed. And by some deranged, crazy, lunatic young man, Caucasian young man. And there is a problem with guns being too excessive, who are not supposed to have them. Obviously, this guy's 21 years old. So I don't know where did he get those guns. I'm pretty sure the authorities know by now, but they probably haven't released it to the press, and the press has not released it to all of us. But there has to be some sort of gun control in this country. We got to get the guns out of the hands of those who would do us harm. But that's not going to happen, because Congress is sitting on its hands. They are doing nothing about this in terms of gun control, or trying to keep the guns out of the hands of those who will do us harm. You know, they're not going to do anything. There's an article saying exactly what I'm saying right now, what I'm talking about. Let's see if we can find it and pull it up. Okay, I'm looking at a gun right now. The bullets. Congress plan after Charleston massacre is to do nothing. This is what the headline said. Nothing. I believe if Congress or Republicans are gun crazy. You know, they're not blaming the gun, they're blaming the victims. Congress is blaming the victims, the people who were shot. They're saying if these people, some of these people in church were armed with guns, they could have prevented some of the, you know, carnage. But that's totally stupid. I mean, Who wants to carry a gun to church, okay? Who wants to? But you know what? That might happen. That could happen. That could happen because people want to be protected. And people might start, you know, after going to church on Sunday, Monday, they might start packing. Because, you know, if you think about it, this is not the first time someone went into a church and shot it up. But this is the first time for something like this to happen in Charleston, Carolina. I remember a few incidents in Chicago, Carolina, but, you know, people may start going to church packing a gun legally. Concealed and carry is legal in all the states around the United States and America. It's legal for you to carry a gun. You can always get that FOI card. After you obtain that FOI card, if you want to carry a gun, if you want to conceal it and carry it, you know, you need training. And once you pass that training, hey, wow, you get your papers for conceal and carry. And no one can do anything to you, even if they know you're carrying a gun out there. So it's possible that people are going to start carrying weapons, powerful weapons, to church. These are going to be good people. These are not going to be thugs and murderers going to church. These are going to be loving citizens who want to look out for themselves, their family, and their friends. Bishop, it's bad, you know, you can't go to church or you can't go to a school or a library without someone opening fire. We're just not protected. So let's claim they're preserving, not preserving, but serving and protecting. It's not happening with the cops. For instance, Chicago, Illinois, I mean, we've got, sometimes I refuse to turn on the news. Sometimes because I know what I'm going to hear. I know what I'm going to see. And it never fails. It never fails. You're hearing people being blown away inside of their own homes. The gangbanger or the thug can't shoot straight and hits a little baby girl. Domestic violence. It's just never ending. Never ending. The more you talk about put the guns down, and I've done on many shows saying put the guns down, the more I say or anyone else say put the guns down, someone picks up a gun. I think some of these thugs out here, and I call them thugs, I think they like shooting. They like killing. They like to get the press. They like to find, they like to see what they've done on the late night news. And a lot of these thug killers who are doing this in some of these high crime areas, they're out in the open. They're not hiding. When the news van comes along, they're standing right behind the reporter, watching the reporter report on a killing that they've just committed, but they have not been apprehended as of yet. These guys are not hiding. The gangbangers, the police know where the gangbangers are. They know who the gangbangers are. If there's a bunch of guys standing on the corner, break that up. Get them off that corner. I have seen gangbangers standing on the corner. I mean, it was maybe about 10 or 15 guys. The police was parked right beside them, did nothing, did not say clear the sidewalk. Everybody who was walking on the side had to walk around these guys. And the police, she was sitting right there in a squad car doing nothing. A lot of us thought she was she was scared to say anything. The gangbangers look pretty tough. But I guess what I'm saying is we need more policemen out here on the street to stop a lot of this city crime. I say this every show that I do, and I even write about it in some of my fiction. This has got to stop. There's too much violence in the world. There's too many people, innocent people, dying at the hands of thugs. And I call Dylann Roof a thug and a murderer, a killer, a hater. Because that's what he was. I mean, if you research his background before this happened, you will see. We've got to stop some of the carnage that is piling up in our cities, especially black-on-black crime. That is really rampant. I mean, someone could, there are so many people get shot in Chicago. It's not worldwide. It's not as epic as the church killings or the racial killings. It doesn't get the same attention. You know, if you go back and podcast my shows from 2 days ago, you'll hear what I'm talking about. Those were good shows. I'm proud of them. This is George Wilder Jr. on the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago on the Wilder Network. And we're talking about things in the news. I will get to diabetes in about, 30, 40 minutes, something like that. But right now, we're trying to cover some of the things that are happening in our town. Okay, from Washington, D.C., this week's slaughter of 9 people in South Carolina church left prospects that Congress will... Okay, I'm talking about Congress, who swore to do nothing about gun violence and gun control in this country because they're controlled by the gun lobbyists, NRA. You know, they're not going to do anything. Their donors are saying, the rich donors that are supplying them with campaign money, they don't want nothing done about gun violence. But you know what? I know some of these senators and some of these representatives, I bet you that their want something done about gun violence because gun violence can happen to anybody, anywhere, at any point in time. Okay, this week's slaughter of 9 people in a South Carolina church left prospects that Congress will curb gun rights where they have been for years. Remote for now. Remote means it's not going to happen, according to lawmakers and activists on both sides of the issue. Conceding that congressional action was unlikely soon, President Obama said lawmakers will tighten federal firearms restrictions when they believe the public is demanding it. We are demanding it. They're just not hearing. They're pretending not to hear. Or they're saying they're not hearing it because this is not what I want. This is not what I want. I think Obama should take the lead here. Stop depending on Congress. Obama acts as if he can't do anything without Congress. He wants Congress. Obama, I think, forgets that he has executive authority, whereas he can act on certain issues without Congress, without the Republicans. But down through the years, as we have known, Obama does not like to use it. He likes to compromise with people who don't like him, who do not like him. He has executive authority. It's just waving your hand and making things work. He doesn't need Congress all the time. He will not get their help. They don't like him, but they like him. They like him enough to pass TPP because all they're going to do is hurt Americans, and Republicans love to hurt Americans because some of us believe that they just don't like America and they just do not like to see people go to the hospital. Go see a doctor because they're planning on cutting Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and other vital funding that helps ordinary people and working class people with their lives. So we have to nudge Congress. We can't sit back and do nothing. There's too many people out there sitting back and doing nothing. There's too many people out there that don't uneducated, uninformed about such things, and they don't care. We have to educate people, but we have to educate those who want to be educated. You got a lot of dumb people out here who wants to stay dumb. They want to stay dumb. They don't mind being dumb. But they have to stop being dumb, because if you're dumb for too long, this world is going to swallow you up. You have to be educated, especially educated on the things around you, your government. You got to know how it works, how it's going to affect you. But I see and meet a lot of people all the time that, you know, don't know jack about what's going on around them. And that's sad. And that's sad. And actually, they don't care. They just want what they can get when they can get it. You know, but it doesn't work like that anymore. It doesn't work like that anymore. You want something, you have to earn it. Nobody's going to give you anything. Nobody's going to knock on your door and give you $1 million. You got to go out there. You want it? Go out there and get it legally. Nobody's going to come to you and hand you anything. You got to go get it. You don't go get it, you will not have it. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. If you want to chime in, I don't have a guest today, but I do have some very, very important audio I want you guys to hear in about 10 or 20 minutes. But if you want to chime in on anything that I'm talking about, my number is 347-857-1762. And this is the George Wilder Jr. Show. And I will be right back. If I can get this, hopefully we won't have any internet interruptions or internet shutdowns or things that can happen on internet radio. Be right back. Hey, this is George Wilder Jr., your radio host here. If you are an avid reader, or you just love to read in general, check out my Amazon page at www.amazon.com/author/G Wilder, or pull up the Amazon website and check out all the material that I have produced. Or you can go to Amazon in general and just type my name into the space bar above, and all of my material should materialize right in front of your eyes. Wow. Some of the stuff that you can download and check out, Ain't That a Groove? It's action, romance, Back in the Groove, action, romance, Echoes of My Sin, my autobiography, I Got Stung, and a lot of others. that you can check out too. I do essays, novels, short stories, and I think I do a good job at them. And you can always go and check those things out and give me some feedback. You know, hook me up with some feedback. I'm always looking for feedback on anything that I do, even on the radio show. Give me feedback on the radio show. What do you think about the radio show? Okay, I got to get back to the radio show. Speaking of radio show, I got to get back. All right.
Are you back?
The hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
It seems like everybody is worshiping around the world with those people, the church, the historic church in Charleston, South Carolina. You know, everybody is, we're pulling together. We're pulling this together. And if those people in North Carolina, South Carolina can forgive, I guess we can forgive this guy from everybody around the world who believes in forgiving. I believe in forgiving. I mean, but I still have a hard time putting my head around forgiving someone who has taken away my loved ones, you know. I don't know. Maybe I can come to grips with that in the future. Possible, but I don't know. But it's a great thing. It's a good, it's a wonderful thing. And I guess forgiving just is a positive thing that you can do and that we can do, is to forgive this guy. But he's going to burn no matter what. And when I say burn, I think everybody's calling for the death penalty. You know, so no matter how much we forgive, he's going to get what he deserves. And I think he deserves that. You know, you take lives senselessly and you're a hater and, you know, I mean, and you admit it. And it's just something that he deserves. But if you disagree with me, you think he should not get the death penalty, you know, hit me up. Give me a call, 347. Tell me why, 857-1762. This is George Wilder Jr. This is George Wilder Jr. Show. I said the other day that the governor of Illinois was running campaign ads against the Speaker of the House in Illinois because he can't get what he wants. So he's running campaign style like television ads to make Mike Madigan look bad. And as I've said many times, Bruce Rauner has been in office only 6 months as of I'm talking today. And he's trying to, I don't know, I think he's bullying. I think he's a bully, you know. I think, and Madigan and Cullerton are saying to themselves, we're not going to be bullied. In so many ways, that's what they're saying. We're not going to be bullied. And I don't blame him. I don't blame him. Governor Bruce Rauner has begun airing TV ads across Illinois that attack House Speaker Michael Madigan and legislative Democrats as anti-reform and pro-tax. The ad singles out Madigan for blocking Rauner's business and political reforms. You know why he blocked all of that stuff, political reforms? Because Rauner is too extreme. He blocked it because he couldn't pass that stuff. He couldn't accept that because it's hurting people. It's hurting Illinois. What he wants to do is destroy Illinois, and Madigan is not going to let that happen. Cullerton is not going to let that happen. And I applaud them for it. And I hope they stand their grounds with this guy because he's loud, he's obnoxious, he's got lots and lots and lots and lots of money so he can buy as many commercials as he wants. What he's really trying to do, he's trying to set himself up and to set his allies up to run against Madigan and Cullerton in the upcoming election. He wants to get his people in there so he can wreak more havoc on Illinois. And I applaud these guys. They will not back down to this guy because he's a big, 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 giant bully. That's all he is. He doesn't like to talk to the media. He doesn't like to go to the media. The only time if you see him talking to the media at all, he's talking against people. This guy wants to cut the heads off of everybody on a social program. Everybody is not deadbeats. Everybody, they're not cheating. People need this funding. And one of the reasons why crime is so high in the city of Chicago, because he has cut funding to vital programs, of anti-violence. I mean, there has been people who acknowledge that fact. If Ronald hasn't cut the funding to ceasefire and a lot of these other programs that are responsible for decreasing violence, we may not have all of these weekend shootings and weekend killings. The funding was vital, and now we've got murder after murder. And my thing is, where is the police? And I keep on saying that on every show, where is the police? But you know what? There is no police. We don't have enough police out here on the street. There's not enough police to saturate these crime-ridden areas. There's not enough police to patrol these areas, whether they're in the vehicle or they're on foot. And a lot of police officers that are on foot, I bet you they're scared as hell to be walking through some of these neighborhoods. I bet my few bucks on it that they are really, really afraid to walk into some of these neighborhoods. But that's their job. Their job is to serve and protect. And they're not doing it. What we need is a change at the top. We need a change. The superintendent of police in the city of Chicago, he has to go. He has no plans. And the plans that he had, they're not working, never did work. The only time you see this guy on television is when he's saying crime is down. Crime is not down. Crime has gone up, the up, up, up. But he wants to try to convince you that crime is down from last year or 10 years ago or 5 years ago. Nobody cares about 10 or 5 years ago. We're talking about right now, at this very moment. Crime is up. Do not compare, do not dig out statistics saying that crime 2 years ago was lower today or higher today. We're talking about what's going on now in the communities. People are dying. People are afraid to come out, sit on the porch. People are afraid to come out and walk to the store or go to the park because of the deadly gunfire 24/7. Something has to be done. We need a change at the top. This guy has to go. What is his name? Gary McCarthy? He has to go. However, his employer is Rahm Emanuel. So the only way this guy is going to go, I've heard people calling for his resignation or that for him to be fired as early as this morning on some of the talk shows. We've got to do something. Crime is as rampant as this. We've got to do something. There's got to be a change somewhere. And I'm not just talking about Chicago. I mean, Detroit, New York, Los Angeles, you know, I mean, any of these big cities with mountains of senseless violence, it has to start at the top. The police superintendent, the mayor, you know, it has to start at the top. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. It's a beautiful day. I have 638 straight up, 81 degrees near the lakefront. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. The sun is still shining. I mean, yesterday was a little bit kind of gray, but it's beautiful now. The sun is coming out. But I'm hearing we're going to get some really bad weather later on, tonight and tomorrow. Yeah. I understand that the temperature is going to drop in this city. It's going to go from 81 to 67. So the kids are out of school. Change the subject, huh? The kids are out of school, so maybe that's a good sign, and hopefully that's a good sign. They they worked hard all year. I mean, they need a break, okay? A positive break, you know. So you always got to keep kids kind of busy, you know, kind of busy. But anyway, getting back to the we need a change. We need a change. We also need a change in the governorship. One of the things that always puzzled me is the South, the southern part of the country, the southern part of the United States. Why is there so many governors? I mean, governors, Republican governors, covering the South, and when the South is basically African Americans. Why do you have all these Republican governors? I don't understand it. Why? Because people did not vote. And when you don't vote, that's you're voting for the bad guy. Well, I'm not going to vote, then that's a vote for a Republican. As simple as that. And I still can't put my head around why there are so many Republican governors in the South when you have mostly, I'm assuming, mostly African Americans in the southern part of the United States. You know, so there we go. George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook, Blog Talk Radio, LinkedIn, Google. I'm all over the place. Wherever you go, I might be there, you know. So anyway, this is the Talk of Our Times. Talk of Our Times. We're going to come back. When I come back, I'm going to play a piece of audio about the symptoms and cures, if there are any, for diabetes. And this should be interesting. I want everybody to listen to this. It's going to, the audio is going to, I'm going to present her. Her name is, if I can grab it and find it, her name is, I believe, Sarah Hallberg. Her name is Sarah Hallberg. She's a doctor on this show. As soon as I come back, take a break, we will have What is Diabetes? It's an audio clip. I'll be right back. Thank you.
Job in the world. I'm a doctor. No, believe me, that's not why. I'm an obesity doctor. I have the honor of working with a group of people subject to the last widely accepted prejudice, being fat. These people have suffered a lot by the time they see me. Shame, guilt, blame, and outright discrimination. The attitude that many take, including those in healthcare, is that these people are to blame for their situation. If they could just control themselves, they wouldn't be overweight, and they're not motivated to change. Please let me tell you, this is not the case. The blame, if we've got to extend some here, has been with our advice, and it's time we change that. Obesity is a disease. It's not something created by lack of character. It's a hormonal disease, and there are many hormones involved, and one of the main ones is a hormone called insulin. Most obese individuals are resistant to this hormone, insulin. So what does that mean exactly, to be resistant to insulin? Well, insulin resistance is essentially a state of type 2 diabetes. Insulin's job is to drive glucose or blood sugar into the cells where it can be used. In a nutshell, when someone is insulin resistant, they're having trouble getting blood sugar where it needs to go, into those cells. And it just can't hang out in the blood after we eat, or we would all have a diabetic crisis after every meal. So when someone is resistant to insulin, the body's response to this is to just make more of it. And insulin levels will rise and rise, and for a while, years even, this is going to keep up, and blood sugar levels can remain normal. However, usually it can't keep up forever, and even at those elevated levels of insulin are not enough to keep blood sugar in the normal range. So it starts to rise. That's diabetes. It probably won't surprise you to hear that most of my patients have insulin resistance or diabetes. And if you're sitting there thinking, "Phew, that's not me," you actually might want to think again, because almost 50% of adult Americans now have diabetes or prediabetes. That is almost 120 million of us. But that's hardly everyone who has issues with insulin, because as I was saying, people have elevated insulin levels due to insulin resistance for years, even decades before the diagnosis of even prediabetes is made. Plus, it's been shown that 16 to 25% of normal weight adults are also insulin resistant. So in case you're keeping track, this is a heck of a lot of us. So the trouble with insulin resistance is, if it goes up, we are at great risk for developing type 2 diabetes. But also, insulin makes us hungry, and the food we eat much more likely to be stored as fat. Insulin is our fat storage hormone. So we can start to see how it's going to be a problem for diseases like obesity and metabolic issues like diabetes. But what if we trace this problem back to the beginning and we just didn't have so much glucose around that insulin needed to deal with? Let's take a look at how that could be. Everything you eat is either a carbohydrate, a protein, or a fat, and they all have a very different effect on glucose and therefore insulin levels, as you can see on the graph. So when we eat carbohydrates, our insulin and glucose are going to spike up fast. And with proteins, it looks a lot better. But take a look at what happens when we eat fat. Essentially nothing, a flat line. And this is going to wind up being very important. So now I want to translate that graph for you into a real-world situation. I want you to go back and think about the last time you ate an American version of Chinese food. We all know there's rules associated with this, right? And the first rule is you're going to overeat, because the stop signal doesn't get sent until you are literally busting at the seams. Rule number two is, in an hour, you're starving. Why? Well, because the rice in that meal caused glucose and insulin to skyrocket, which triggered hunger, fat storage, and cravings. So, if you're insulin resistant to begin with, and your insulin levels are already higher, you really are hungrier all the time. And we have this set up. Eat carbs, your glucose goes up, your insulin goes up, and you have hunger and fat storage. So how do we recommend to these people to eat? Because it seems like that would be really important, and it is. Let's focus just on type 2 diabetes, because the general recommendations are to tell patients with type 2 diabetes to consume 40 to 65 grams of carbohydrates per meal, plus more at snacks. Trust me on this, that's a lot of carbs. And remember what's going to happen to glucose and insulin, blood sugar and insulin, when we eat them? Yes, we are essentially recommending that they eat exactly what's causing their problem. Sound crazy? It really, really is. Because at its root, diabetes is a state of carbohydrate toxicity. We can't get the blood sugar into the cells, and that causes a problem in the short term, but the long-term consequences are even greater. And insulin resistance is essentially a state of carbohydrate intolerance. So why, oh why, do we want to continue to recommend to people to eat them? The American Diabetes Association guidelines specifically state that there is inconclusive evidence to recommend a specific carbohydrate limit. But those guidelines go right on to say what we all know. Carbohydrate intake is the single biggest factor in blood sugar levels and therefore need for medication. These guidelines then go on to say, hey, look, if you're taking certain diabetic medications, you actually have to eat carbs. Otherwise, your blood sugar can go too low. Okay, so let's take a look at the vicious cycle that advice just set up. So it's eat carbs, so you have to take medicine. Then you have to eat more carbs so you avoid the side effect of those medications. And around we go. Even worse is that nowhere in the ADA guidelines is the goal of reversing type 2 diabetes. This needs to be changed because type 2 diabetes can be reversed in many, if not most, situations, especially if we start early. Not only do we need to let people know this, but we have to start giving them the practical advice so they can do this. Consider carbs. First, here's a shocker for you. We don't need them. Seriously, our minimum daily requirement for carbohydrates is zero. We have essential amino acids, those are proteins, essential fatty acids, but nope, no essential carb. A nutrient is essential if we have to have it to function, and we can't make it from something else. We make glucose, plenty of it, all the time. It's called gluconeogenesis. So, we don't need them. The overconsumption of them is making us very sick. Yet we are continuing to recommend to patients to consume close to, if not more, than half of their total energy intake every day from them. It doesn't make sense. Let's talk about what does. Cutting carbs a lot. Yes, in my clinic, we teach patients to eat with carbs as the minority of their intake, not the majority. So how does that work? Well, when our patients decrease their carbs, their glucose goes down, and they don't need as much insulin. So those insulin levels drop, and fast. And this is very important because a study looking at our National Health and Nutrition Examination survey data, better known as NHANES, showed that the single biggest risk factor for coronary artery disease is insulin resistance. It is responsible for a whopping 42% of heart attacks. Low-carb intervention works so fast that we can literally pull people off of hundreds of units of insulin in days to weeks. One of my favorite stories is a very recent one. A young gal, but who had an almost 20-year history of type 2 diabetes, came in when a physician from another clinic told her she was just sick and should probably get used to it. Her diabetes was way out of control. This despite the fact that she was on multiple medications, including almost 300 units of insulin that was being injected into her continuously every day via a pump. All of this, remember, blood sugar still out of control. So we put her on a low-carb diet, and now let's fast forward 4 months. She lost weight, yes, but better than that, sick no more. Her blood sugar levels were now normal all of the time. This on, get this, no diabetes medication. Gone was the 300 units of insulin, no more insulin pump, no more pricking her finger multiple times each day, gone, all of it. No more diabetes. One of the greatest joys of my job is to be able to tell a patient like this that they no longer have diabetes, and we ceremoniously take it off their problem list together. So, are they cured? Is this a miracle? We'll leave that grandstanding to Dr. Oz. Cured would imply that it can't come back. And if they start eating excessive carbs again, it will. So no, not cured. But they don't have diabetes any longer. It's resolved. And it can stay that way as long as we keep away the cause. So what does this look like then? How does somebody eat this way? Well, first let me tell you what it's not. Low carb is not zero carb, and it is not high protein. These are common criticisms that are so frustrating because they're not true. Next, if we take the carbs out, what are we going to put in? Because remember, there's only three macronutrients. If one goes down, one has to go up. My patients eat fat, and a lot of it. What, you say? I mean, what's going to happen when you eat fat? Well, let me tell you, you're going to be happy because fat tastes great and it is incredibly satisfying. But remember, fat is the only macronutrient that's going to keep our glucose, blood sugar, and insulin levels low, and that is so important. So I want you to now hear my simple rules for eating. These rules, you have to remember, are even going to be more important if you are one of the tens of millions of Americans who have trouble with insulin levels. Rule number one, if it says light, low fat, or fat-free, stays in the grocery store, because if they took the fat out, they put carbs and chemicals in. Rule number two, eat food. The most important rule in low-carb nutrition. Real food does not come in a box, and no one should have to tell you real food is natural. You should know that when you look at it. Don't eat anything you don't like. And eat when you're hungry. Don't eat when you're not, no matter what the clock says. And number five is a simple way to remember what we want to avoid. No GPS. No grains, no potatoes, and no sugar. That last one is a biggie, right? No grains? Yeah, no grains. But we have to have them. Nope, they're a carb. But whole grains are so good for us. Well, first of all, there are actually very few foods out there that are truly whole grain, even when they say they are. Most foods that purport themselves to be whole grain are highly processed and the fiber benefit ruined, or they're coming with highly refined flour, usually both of these things. So if you are one of the truly insulin-sensitive people, you can eat real whole grain. But if you are in the enormous slice of our population with insulin issues, it's making things worse. So what if you are one of the real insulin-sensitive people? Can you still eat this way? Yes. I'm a great example. Over a year ago, I decided I would cut my carbs as low as I recommend to my diabetic patients. Now, it's not mandatory for my health like it is for theirs. I'm not insulin-resistant, so would this be a problem? No, that's just the thing. Unless you have an exceedingly rare syndrome, then cutting carbs is going to be good for you, even if it's not necessary. I want to show you a couple pictures of my radical food. So, this is a common breakfast in my house. So, does it look like I just broke my own rule? I didn't, because this muffin is made with coconut flour. I bake all the time still. I just use non-grain-based flours. Coconut, almond, hazelnut, flax, they make delicious things. And this is a typical dinner in my house with a typical starch. That would be the sautéed mushrooms. No, my patients and I eat delightful food all of the time and enjoy it. But what about the research on this? I mean, is this just anecdotal evidence now from my clinic? No. There are dozens of randomized controlled trials looking at low-carb intervention for things like diabetes, cardiovascular risk factors, obesity. They're consistent. It works. There are even a large number of studies showing that low-carb nutrition decreases inflammatory markers, which is making it really exciting for diseases like cancer. We just finished a study in our clinic, and what we did is we took 50 type 2 diabetic patients that were treated with our low-carb, high-fat-based program, and we compared them to 50 patients who were treated with the ADA guidelines. And after 6 months, not only did we find a significant metabolic advantage for the low-carb group, but, and let's face it, this is important, a huge cost savings. Our analysis showed that our patients could save over $2,000 a year just on the diabetes meds they were no longer taking. Just think how fast that adds up in our diabetes epidemic now that we are spending $250 billion a year on in this country. So I want to show you a slide now that demonstrates where that savings is coming from. So this is looking just at the insulin difference in the two groups after 6 months. And what we can see is that the low-carb group was able to decrease their insulin by almost 500 units a day, whereas in the ADA-treated group, they had to increase their insulin by almost 350 units a day. Two important things. Number one, insulin's expensive. And number two, not all the people in this study were even on insulin, which makes these results even more impressive. But what I would say is that this graph really represents two different approaches to treating this disease. The first, our group with the goal of reversing disease, meaning they need less medicine. And the second group, which very clearly aligns with the ADA guidelines, which states that diabetes is a progressive disease requiring more medicine over time. Progressive, unless we take away the cause. So what's the problem then? Why is this not everywhere? Why isn't low-carb the norm? There's two big reasons. Number one, status quo. It is hard to break. There are many agendas involved. We got this notion that low-fat was the way to go decades ago, but a recent study just came out showing that there was zero randomized control evidence to recommend to Americans to remove the fat from our diet, and that's how the carbs got added in. It was essentially a huge experiment on millions of people, and it failed miserably. The second reason we don't see it everywhere is money. Don't be fooled. There's a lot of money to be made from keeping you sick. And what we see is with these specialty guideline panels, they are stacked with conflict of interest. So the solution to the diabetes epidemic in my clinic is exceedingly clear. Stop using medicine to treat food. And for a disease whose root cause is carbohydrates, take away the carbohydrates or at least cut them so we can remember what we used to know. We knew it a long time ago. This was said thousands of years ago, and we need in this day and age to get back to that notion. Thank you.
Okay, that was Dr. Sarah Hallberg talking about diabetes. And I made a few of the points, a few of the vital points that she's just said. She said, I'm trying to get my thoughts here. She said that there's a lot of money to be made to keep you sick. And that is true. That is true. Diabetes can be reversed. It depends on how severe it is. The severity of the disease. It can't be reversed, and you don't need all that insulin. Insulin will make you fat. You're treating, it's like fighting fire with fire. Your body makes insulin, and then you're taking in more insulin. You're only going to gain weight. You know, you don't need that. If you want to fight diabetes, you fight diabetes with food. Food causes the problem, and food can rectify the problem. When she say cut your carbs, she's talking about carbohydrates. And a lot of that is in our foods. So when you go to the store, always look on the back of the product, check for the nutritional value of that product, if it's too much salt, too much fat. She said fat is good for you, but we all know too much of anything is bad. Okay, anything that's over 10% is probably bad for you. Check the labels, the nutritional labels on the back of that food product. Salt, if it's too much salt, sodium is horrible. High blood pressure, high cholesterol. All of that is a contributing factor to diabetes. And there are so many people in the United States walking around with pre-diabetes and don't even know it. Walking around dizzy, tingling in your feet, tingling in your hand, tingling in your head. It's like a roller coaster. and people are living with it. And don't forget one vital thing. Diabetes can kill you. So many people die every year, all the time, from the disease. And the thing about it, you don't have to die. You don't have to suffer. Do what this doctor says. Cut down on your carbs, carbohydrates. If you cut down on your carbohydrates, you got to increase what? You got to increase protein. You got to increase fat. You're fighting the disease with food, pills. It's a money-making industry. The doctors, they're going to keep you on medication because they want to keep you spending. And majority of the time, I'm not saying that the medication will not work. It's good for something. But don't go injecting yourself every day, every hour, every minute because it's a balance. Having diabetes, it's hard. It's rough. And it can be an inconvenience. But we have to do something with the disease. It's not that bad. People live with it every day, all the time. People living with it. And they live years for years and years and years, you know. And it is reversible. Do not let your doctor say that it's not reversible. You can end it. But keep in mind one thing. Diabetes didn't happen overnight, and it's not going to go away overnight. It depends, I would think it depends on the severity of the disease. But the doctor said, you can also fast. That means not eat at all. But, you know, that's not a good way to go. I mean, you're going to have to eat something. You can't just not eat. Not eating, fasting, will get rid of your diabetes even quicker. But if you need to eat, eat the right things. Fruit, vegetables, even some fruits can give you a high blood pressure because some of the fruits are loaded with sugar. So it's a balancing act. It really is a balancing act. Symptoms of diabetes, blurred vision, dizziness, feeling like you're high or something. Tingling in your feet, you know, but it's a curable disease. It's not like cancer, severe cancer. In some cases, they can cure cancer. But the bottom line is, it's a moneymaker for the United States to keep you on medicine, to keep you buying two and three types of medicine. Medicine you really don't need. Medicine that's going to make you fat. Medicine with all kinds of side effects. There's some medicines out here with side effects. That'll scare you off right there. I don't want that. You know, there's more side effects in some of these medicines than there are benefits. The medicine alone and the side effects alone will kill you, even if you talk to your doctor. So what you do is you fight this disease with food and exercise and being positive. Research this disease. Research it as much as you can. Learn as much about the disease as you can. And to know that it can be cured. You can live a good life. You can rid yourself of diabetes. It's possible. A lot of people have. A lot of people have. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I hope this has helped a lot of people out there. And if you know someone with diabetes, tell them to download this show and listen to The Good Doctor. I'll have more audio on the show pertaining to the disease in the very, very, very near future. Because this diabetes is an epidemic. You don't have to be really obese to have it. But obviously, majority of people who are obese do have it. It could be heredity. You can get diabetes just because someone in your family had it. Eating too much sugar for over 10 and 20 years will give you the cakes, cookies, candy. All of that stuff is great. It's great tasting. I wish I had some now, but hey, it's bad for you. We are getting older. We cannot eat the food that we used to eat in our youth. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to happen. And I say if your diabetes somehow is cured or semi-cured, your weight is down, your high blood pressure is down, your cholesterol levels are down, you're feeling great, you did the right thing, you followed your doctor's advice. But if you go back to eating carbohydrates, loading up on carbs, you're going to gain all that weight back, and it's a possibility that your diabetes will come back. So the most important thing you can do is when you go shopping, shop fruits, vegetables, protein, fats. The first thing a doctor will tell you if you got the disease, stop eating fats. But Dr. Sally Hallberg said, hey, eat all the fats you want. Your body needs fat. But just decrease or lower your carbs, zero carbs. Carbohydrates is the one that's making you fat, not the fat. Like I said, I will have more of this kind of thing on the show. I'm going to be doing segments on diabetes at least once a week because I want the word to get out that this is a deadly disease if not taken care of, if not thought of as being very, very serious. Kind of information on the internet about diabetes. Check it out. A lot of people don't understand a lot of things about diabetes, but, you know, if you're overweight, if you have the disease, the best thing you can do is to not let it overwhelm you. Do the right thing. You know, bring your family in on it. You know, let people know what's going on, what's happening with you, so we can help. Because like I said, there are so many people who are living with the disease and living happily. But then there's people who are miserable living with disease because they got to interject themselves with insulin. You cannot fight diabetes with insulin because your body makes insulin. Your insulin is the cause of the problem. If you listen to the doctor, insulin is the cause of your problem. So if you're injecting yourself with insulin on top of insulin, you're making the problem worse, as like I said at the beginning of this. But I'm not saying not take any medication to try to keep your blood sugar in balance. And if your doctor tells you one thing, get a second and third opinion. Don't just go with what one doctor tells you. Authors, no author is alike and no doctor is alike. Doctors are human. They can give you erroneous information. But this disease is serious, and that's why I want to bring the awareness to people who are not aware. Because when you're diagnosed with diabetes, you're scared as hell. I mean, it scares you. It's like being saying you. It's like being said that you actually have cancer. Also, so this disease is nothing to play with. I mean, 60 to 80% of the people out here with the disease. I don't know, every time I see somebody who's obese, I want to say that person probably has cancer or disease or will have it soon. Because the reason why they're obese is because of food. And you fight that kind of disease with food, but a lot less of it, a less food. Yeah. Carbohydrates. It's what's making us fat. It's what's giving us diabetes. If we lower our intake on carbohydrates, and in a few months, we may be cured of diabetes. It is reversible. There's people out there that are saying, no, it cannot be cured. You're going to have it for the rest of your life. Yeah, you will if you don't do the right thing. And it's so easy. You're fighting food with food to cure your diabetes. Food with food. but a different kind of food and a different a look at food. And believe me, when you get rid of salt out of your diet, you get used to eating it. You wonder why you haven't done it years ago. It's great. It's wonderful. I've gotten rid of salt out of my diet. And somehow food's starting to taste better. Okay? So this she was great. She was wonderful. She'll be back. Don't worry about it. And I will have other people on the show also to talk about reversing diabetes. And I hope to get you out there to do the right thing, or someone that you might know to do the right thing, so they can be cured, if not somewhat cured. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. Stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. All right. We got some audio coming in from somewhere. Let's see if we can shut it off. There we go. We got it together now. All right. Why Donald Trump 26th run could be terrible for the Republicans. That's one of the things they don't want. They don't want Donald Trump. I said this before. They don't want Donald Trump up on the stage with them, because Donald Trump is going to be something. He's going to tear them apart. I'm talking about the rest of the Republican Party. I think it's about 12 of those guys running for president. And they are going to – it's going to be something. It's going to be a show with Donald Trump. He's an idiot. He's an idiot. He says some of the most inflammatory, ridiculous, and dumb things. And that gets him on TV. That gets him, photographed, and that's what he liked, and he says some of the dumb things. But you know what? If you listen to Trump, everything he says is not dumb. It might be, some of it might be workable. I might even agree with some things, but I would never, ever vote for the guy. Okay, let's see what's happening here. Okay, so it's going to be, like I said, the presidential election for the Republicans is going to be really, really something. You've got Rick Santorum. He's another idiot. He's another guy who says things that he later will apologize for. Okay, Donald Trump will never be president. Somebody said that. He knows that. He knows, well, maybe not. We know that. Yeah, we know that. As voters, he will never be president. But who knows? Who knows? I mean, we got some crazy people out here who would probably put him in office. You never know. But it takes people to vote. You have to vote. You want to keep this guy and these Republicans out of office? Vote. Don't say, I'm not going to vote because all politicians are crooks and liars. And they are. Most of them are. I agree. But you have to pick the ones that you know that you have to vet people. You have to vet them to make sure that they're going to do the right thing. You got to hold their feet to the fire. Because most of these guys go to Congress just to make money and get rich and turn their backs on people who put them in office. This is going to happen. But it's up to us, the people, to turn these people back around and say, hey, I voted for your ass. Do something for me. Do something for our community. Do something for your district. Do something for the state. It's their job to do something. It's their job to bring back resources for your state or your community or your district. They don't do that. They're not doing their job. And we as taxpayer, we're paying their salary. We voted them in office. But like I said before, most of these guys who are in Congress, as I speak today, They are representing no one but themselves. They go to Congress as a representative making $174,000 a year. During their term in office, they become rich, millionaires, billionaires. They become bought off. They act as if they're better than you or I, who put them in office. They went around begging for our votes. We voted for them because we thought they were on the up and up. We thought they were the good guys. Get their asses in office, they turn out to be the bad guys, become corrupt, and then later have to go to jail. We are too gullible. We have to stop putting people in office who have nice-looking faces, who have nice-looking names. That's why I like Bernie Sanders. We have to learn how to vet these people. Most of all, we have to vote. We have to vote. I understand people getting pissed off at voting because they figure politicians are just liars, and they are. Cheaters, they are. They'll turn their back on you. I agree. But we have maybe a handful of good ones. A handful of good ones who want to do the right thing, but they can't act alone. They have to have the others to act with them to get something passed in Congress. What we have to do is vote in 2016. All of these guys, most of these guys in the House of Representatives and in the Senate are up for re-election. We can change the House of Representatives back to Democratic control, which it should have never turned Republican in the first place. The only reason why it turned Republican is because back in 2010, Republicans were, when they had control over the House of Representatives, they were fighting and yelling at each other and screaming. They couldn't get along, and so the people got pissed off and voted them out or decided not to vote at all, and the Republicans took control. And they know this. Obama couldn't hold them together. You were hearing things about corporate Democrats. You were hearing things about conservative Democrats. You don't have no progressive Republicans in Congress. Why would you have conservative Democrats in Congress? In my estimation, a conservative Democrat is nothing but a Republican. That's a Democrat who won with getting Democratic votes, but this person is actually a Republican. That's one of the reasons I think why they lost the House in 2010. Because if we can remember back, Obama had the White House. The Democrats had the House of Representatives, and the Democrats had the Senate, and they still couldn't get nothing done. They had the whole enchilada back in 2010 because they lost themselves. And you have nobody to blame for them losing the Congress back in 2010 but the Democrats. They lost it because they got big heads. They got swollen heads, you know. And they lost it. But the only way we're going to get it back is you're going to have to vote. We can have a Democratic president in office, but if he doesn't have a Democratic Congress, it's going to be gridlock. Nothing is going to get done. Just like in Illinois. I mean, we got a Republican, nasty Republican governor, and we have a Democratic legislature. It's gridlock. Nothing is going to get done. They're talking about a statewide shutdown July 1st. That only means that things are going to stop running. Paychecks are going to stop printing. Funding is going to dry up because Rauner has a funding bill on his desk drafted by the Democrats, which he will not sign. So if he doesn't sign it, funding dries up. The guy is he just wants the state to just fall into the ocean or something, or the lake or something. He's ruining this state. I've did a show on it, and I keep reiterating this. We need to get this guy out. He's just been in 6 months, and he's done so much damage. 6 months, and he's never held an office before in his life. He had a few businesses. He had some businesses. From my understanding, they were nursing homes. But he never run anything governmental. He never held a political office. The only thing he's doing now is learning on the fly, learning on the curve. He has people around him teaching and showing him stuff. He's in school. But he's ruining the state. On his brain, he's got a one-track mind. Hurt the middle class. That's all he has. Hurt the middle class. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Got 5 more minutes in the show. I'm so glad you're out there. I hope you had a good time in the show. And I hope that the clip that I just played for you is very, very informative. Her name is Dr. Hallberg. And I will have, in the coming weeks, I think next Friday, I will have an actual doctor on the show. And she also will talk about diabetes. And it seemed like she was eager to come on the show and talk about diabetes. Her name is, she was on the show once before. This is her second time back, Dr. Sally Burbank. She will be on the show, and she will enlighten us a little bit more, giving her take on the disease. It's a deadly disease, but, you know, people are living with it. However, there's people who are succumbing to it, if I said it right. I'm slurring my speech. I don't know why. So it's just horrible. I mean, July 1st, this state of Illinois is supposed to shut down. And you know what? I think it's going to happen because no one is talking. Nobody's coming together. Nobody's compromising. And I put the blame on Rauner. I don't think Governor Rauner wants a compromise because Mike Madigan has turned away his initiative. Mike Madigan has turned away his turnaround agenda for the state of Illinois, which I don't blame. It's too radical. It's too extreme. It's too ridiculous. I turn him down too. And now he's pissed off. So now he's running ads attacking Mike Madigan. For not wanting to work with him on these vicious cuts, on these vicious things that he wants to destroy the state with. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. I'm just about off the air. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for being there. Thank you for always being there. I just love all of you. I love you. I will be back on the air Thursday, the 25th. And I should have some all-new material for you. Someone just whispered in my ear, 60 seconds. Okay, I'll see you then. Thanks for joining me. Join me next week starting Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And Sunday, I will try to have some guests on the show that you can call in and ask questions about. But I sure will have Dr. Sally Burbank on the show on the 27th of June. Okay, here we go. Wait a minute. Wait, whoa. Some video is coming in from somewhere. See you later. Take care. Bye-bye.
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago.